right. Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, everybody, depending on where you're at in the world.
Happy time.
Happy times. Happy
whenever,
joyful
whatever
times.
Whatever that time might be.
And
what's up,
a
Scott?
Good morning, Sheldon.
Hey.
It's nice that we're both in the same time zone.
That makes it less complicated.
It does.
For sure.
I feel like we're just next door neighbors because of that.
Exactly.
And how have you been, Sheldon?
I've been good. Good. Yeah, plugging along.
Yeah.
Plugging along. Dealing with all the kind of wackiness that seems to be out there right now.
Yeah.
A lot of intense energies all around.
Yeah, very, very intense time. I think, we're just in this compression, I guess, energy-wise, that's been going on considerably. It's been kind of ramping up, but now we're sort of in the grips of the vice.
Yeah. Grips of all kinds of cool stuff happening.
Yeah.
It's cool, but it's also challenging sometimes.
Yep.
And,
time of shake-up, transition.
Shake-up and wake-up.
Shake-up and wake-up. Very good. Exactly. Yeah, and I think we were, talking about this as we were chatting before the show about, I think there is something around the idea that we're, the universe is sort of shifting its global universal energy from more of a masculine patriarchal energy to a feminine, more feminine. And I think we're just in that transition period. So it's like all the waves are crashing and during this change. And I think some people feel it heavier than others. But I think in general, most people I've run into, and I think with you too, Sheldon, just a lot of intense stuff going on for pretty much everybody.
Right.
At some
sure.
point. Yep.
And then, some people have a greater awareness connection to that, what's the transitions that are happening. And so they can talk about it or at least have a framework for understanding it,
mm-hmm.
And processing and dealing with it. And then other people are just, I don't know what the heck's going on, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most people. I don't know what's going on, but I just feel really, my mind is racing, or I just feel anxious all the time, and there's, my body doesn't feel quite right, and, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the pharmaceutical companies are going to love it, or are loving it, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because,
Seriously.
At least in the Western world, because of the medical approach to treating the effects versus the cause.
Yep.
Which is why another reason why I love the course, and I love, what I do as an engineer at times, which is get to the root cause, not keep treating the effects. And that's what the course is all about, is helps you understand the root cause of what happened in your mind and why you're having the experiences that you're having. And and then for today's show topic, we're going to be talking about near the back end of the course, the manual for teachers, and that kind of puts a lot of what the text and the workbook for students was about, and I think it kind of sums it all up and even adds to it, gets into, what is healing? What is God's true judgment? What's peace? What is your role as a teacher of God? And what does that mean
to be a teacher?
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Cool, cool, cool. All kinds of good stuff.
Goodness. So welcome, everybody. And as always, we send out an invite if you want to participate on the show and just feel like sharing your experiences with A Course in Miracles, or maybe you have questions, or maybe something that we're talking about, the topic you want to participate in, you can call in and participate. And the call-in number is, oh, wow, I don't see it on the...
Freak us all out. Shock us.
I was just about to go there, and now I can't find the number. Sheldon, make up a number.
888.
Oh, well. I guess
nobody's calling.
Yep.
Surprise, surprise.
Oh, thank you. It's 888-627-6008. That was awesome. Thank you very
888-627-6008.
Much.
008.
And as soon as Don flashed that over, I see.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
So that means he's actually listening. somebody's. So,
Sheldon, you're always impressed if even a person is listening. That just made Sheldon's day.
All right, here we go. Funny.
So
this is just time for me and Scott, you know, for us to talk. And I like it.
It is fun. It is how we catch up.
Yeah, seriously.
And especially with our background in the course, because we always end up talking about a course, even if we weren't doing the show, because it's such a has been a big part of our lives, and that's how we met.
And because you are a teacher.
And you are a teacher.
And what does that mean to be a teacher, Scott?
I don't know. We'll get into that. Do you want to do a guided meditation first?
But first, let's do a guided meditation.
I see.
And I think it's Scott's turn to lead us through that.
And once again, I just hear the joy in your voice. When you say,
yeah.
Yes.
I have to do it.
You get to enjoy and relax.
Here we go.
And so for those of you that haven't been participating in the show before, we typically do, you know, it's like a 5, maybe 10 minute guided meditation, just something really quick, something to connect with spirit or source. And so if you're not in a comfortable position, go ahead and just get comfortable, just relax. And again, if you're driving or doing work, you can participate later. But for now, for those of you that can, just get relaxed and close your eyes and go ahead and take a nice deep breath in and just slowly let it out. And just allow any stresses or maybe tightness in your body every time you breathe now to just let that all out, any tension. Any thoughts that maybe have been on your mind or maybe bothering you or distracting you, just allow those to also flow out every time you exhale. Good. Now just take one final deep breath in and just slowly let it out. And now just focus your attention to what you know is your body and just imagine from your heart center just this beautiful white light, or maybe it's just a feeling of love, and just allow that to expand completely around your body, just protecting and loving and peaceful. And then imagine, if you will, that this light or feeling from your heart center is bursting out, and it's intending it to connect now all the way up to source, to God. And if it feels like you're struggling to achieve that connection, or maybe it feels like there might be a block, just call in anything for you that symbolizes spiritual power, strength, and love, like Holy Spirit, or maybe an ascended master, or the concept of Christ consciousness. Just call that in. And even if you feel connected, call that in. This is your companion, your helper, or the comforter. Because on this journey, you're not walking this journey alone. You are being guided and being helped every step of the way. Even when it feels like maybe you're alone, you're not. Because you're always connected. So allow yourself to feel this connection, see this connection, or maybe start hearing messages because of this connection. This is always available to you. And you know that this is a true loving connection, because it should be filled with peaceful messages, peaceful thoughts, peaceful feelings, loving feelings. For some of you that may be doing this for the first time, just as a test, send another beam of light out and just check in with the connection that you have. And if it sticks around, that means it's definitely of a higher vibration with Source. Just intend Source. Intend Holy Spirit. Intend Christ. And just notice how that connection feels, or looks like, or sounds like. And for today, either offer up something that maybe has been bothering you, or maybe it's a relationship, a person, or a situation. Or maybe offer up something for somebody else. Maybe they're having struggles or issues. And offer that up symbolically, any way that you would like. And you can place this again in your heart center and allow that symbol or that situation or person to beam out back to Source. And just watch or feel or hear as that happens. And just notice this is you handing over everything to Spirit, to Source, allowing it to heal or transform in the most appropriate way. Just let go of any desire or specific intention that you may have to outcome and just allow it to transform in the best way possible, that meets the intention of Spirit or Source. And by handing it over and allowing it to transform, you've offered a gift back to Source, back to Spirit. And allow yourself to receive back how that feels, to help to be in the process of healing the mind, healing a brother or sister, healing a situation, it's all the same. And allow that healing, that love, to return back to you, again, through your heart center, through that beam. And allow it to just fill every ounce of your being. And now allow that transformative, healing, loving energy from Source to just burst out all throughout your being, and imagine it just touching the hearts and minds of everybody on this planet, all the beings on this planet, going into the planet, and now just bursting out throughout our galaxy, and now out throughout the universe. Allowing the universe through you to experience healing and love and peace. Because you are the source of this. Because that's what you are created to be. This is your true nature. Because you've never left home. Allow yourself now, if you can, to remember that you are at home in heaven, your true home. And even if you maybe can't feel it or see it for now, that's okay. You've made the first step back. And just be at peace knowing that you're another step closer. And just keep that desire to be home permanently in your heart now. And because you're still connected to all beings, all the planets, the universe, that desire is there for all because of you. Just thank your connection with Source and Spirit. And allow your consciousness to return back to your own body, your own place where you're sitting or laying down. And just return your attention back to your body by moving your fingers, moving your upper body, becoming fully aware of your breathing and just coming back fully now. And then just opening your eyes when you feel it's time. Just knowing that connection that you've made is always going to be there. And is always there.
Wow.
All right.
That was awesome.
Cool.
That was cool. That was great.
Yeah, it's just neat. Like we talk about all the time, that connection's always there. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're, you know, have a day job or night job or whatever it is, you can always take even 10 seconds, 20 seconds. Just connect in like that.
Yeah. Beautiful bridge you built there, brother.
Yeah, man.
That was cool.
It's all good. Yeah, it feels good.
Now there's nothing to say.
Sheldon's all blissed out.
Woo. There we go.
Cool.
Yeah.
So now that we connected to the heart, we'll connect back to the head stuff.
Through the heart.
Through the heart.
There you go.
And this is the part of the show where we just typically will each read a quote from the course to get us started. And again, because we're talking the manual for teachers, I think we both have a quote from the manual for teachers.
We do. Mine has to do with, it's page 40 in the manual for teachers. This is from the Foundation for Inner Peace version. Not that we're advocating or taking sides or making special any particular version over any other version, but just for reference purposes, this is Manual for Teachers and Foundation for Inner Peace, page 40, it's section 16, How Should the Teacher of God Spend His Day? Paragraph 4, I like 4 and 5, so maybe if we can read this. This course is always practical. It may be that the teacher of God is not in a situation that fosters quiet thought as he awakes. If this is so, let him but remember that he chooses to spend time with God as soon as possible, and let him do so. Duration is not the major concern. One can easily sit still an hour with closed eyes and accomplish nothing. One can easily give God only an instant, and in that instant join with him completely. Perhaps the one generalization that can be made is this: as soon as possible after waking, take your quiet time. Continue a minute or two after you begin to find it difficult. You may find that the difficulty will diminish and drop away. If not, that is the time to stop. The same procedure should be followed at night. Perhaps your quiet time should be fairly early in the evening. If it is not feasible for you to take it, just before going to sleep. It is not wise to lie down for it. It is better to sit up in whatever position you prefer. Having gone through the workbook, you must have come to some conclusions in this respect. I guess I'll stop. So that was paragraph 4 and half of paragraph 5. But I just like it was, you know, this the idea of the brevity, that there's no time, that there's no specialness in terms of place or circumstance.
Right.
You know, really, that it's good to start and end, right? Because it puts your mind in a certain state. But that it's kind of like a real kind of gentleness about it, right? Just like, hey.
Yeah. That's one of the main reasons why I personally really loved the course when I finally started understanding it was, it takes all specialness out. All the stuff, at least, you know, the way I was raised as a Catholic, sort of like, well, your spiritual or your spiritual practice, you know, is really, a lot of the focus was in the church, right? Having a altar or sanctuary. And I'm not putting down anything or saying that, you know, people that are drawn to even do that in their home, that's a great thing, because anything that reminds you to connect to God or source is a beautiful thing. But I think when it becomes rules or you got to do this or you're not good or holy or whatever, then it becomes a big problem. And the course is always about undoing that thinking and just being loving to everything and everybody, no matter what.
Right. The you know, like you were saying, the stuff, you know, the altar, the church, the stuff can be a beautiful gateway,
mm-hmm.
or it can become an obstacle.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So however you use it or you see it, well, you know,
right.
make it what it is for you, right? That's what the Course is always saying.
Exactly. Yeah, because by nature we live in a dualistic, or we are experiencing a dualistic
experience.
I just trapped myself there on that one, but
that's what it is, though.
It is
dimension. It's a dimension of experience, right?
Dimension of experience, and yeah, you can use everything as either medicine or a weapon. I remember a Enneagram teacher saying that, and that really stuck with me. It's like, oh yeah. I mean, you can use religion as a way to actually connect with God, or you can use it as a way to judge and condemn people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so this just talks about being practical, about using, you know, what time you might have, about, you know, needing to take a lot of time. And I think that's, you know, the holy instant is just an instant, and that instant mm-hmm. is always now, right?
Yep.
So this present moment. And so... sort of recognizing that.
Yeah.
I do think that there's some aspect or openness for discipline to come in, the regular practicing of this, allowing yourself that space somewhere
mm-hmm.
On a regular basis makes a difference. I think that people that are, oh, yeah, and they try it one day and then, you know, 4 months later try it again or whatever, and that there is this aspect that you need to have a regularity to whatever that practice is, whatever it is, and being gentle with yourself if it doesn't happen in any particular day or moment, but also, you know, committing yourself to saying, okay, I'm going to try this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the lessons do, right? They kind of force you into that. They guide you into that. But.
Yeah, and it's a training, because again, the course early on says, you know, this is a course in mind training. And so anything for us in our experience, you know, if you're going to be in training, it's a regular thing until it becomes part of you.
Mm-hmm. And then it's an always thing.
Yeah, or as much as possible.
And
yeah.
then it's a being thing, a presence yep. thing, right?
Yep, which is why, yeah, the quote that I picked was in the introduction part of the manual. It's paragraph 2. It says, to teach is to demonstrate. There are only two thought systems, and you demonstrate that you believe one or the other is true all the time. From your demonstration, others learn, and so do you. The question is not whether you will teach, for in that there is no choice. And what I love about it is, I think... you know, I've definitely run into some people in the past who are like, oh, well, I'm not ready to read the manual for teachers because I'm still reading the text or going through the workbook. But really, the manual for teachers is just really kind of clarifying what the course meant previously. And the fact is, we're all teachers. So mm-hmm. it's not like you just go, okay, I've learned enough of the course, now I'm going to go teach. You teach in everything that you do, everything that you think, everything
right.
that you believe, because we're all connected. And so we're all learning from each other. We're all reacting mm-hmm. to or with each other. And so you have no choice. You are a teacher. The question is, do you want to be a teacher of God or a teacher of the ego?
Yeah, what are you teaching, right?
Yep, exactly.
It's funny. That's almost exactly what we're reading from the text. I think it's like around page 100 or so in the group. And is almost exactly the same, well, the same message, you know. You're always teaching something. What are you teaching?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know? And it's not,
yeah.
And it's your beingness.
Yeah.
Right? Your presence is what's teaching.
Yep.
And it says that somewhere in what we were reading, where it's like, it doesn't matter what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where you're connected to, what you're sourcing from, right?
Yep,
from
exactly.
love, compassion, from judgment, condemnation, in fear or what? You know, who is your guide? Where are you sourcing from? That radiates an energy that you will be radiating regardless of whether you're actually opening your mouth or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or doing anything. Your presence.
Yep. Yeah, and it's probably good to just maybe point out an example or two. Just sort of like, I think there's assumptions that maybe people have that like, oh, this person is teaching spirituality, so everything they're doing is spiritual. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Course would look at it as, okay, maybe you're saying you're a teacher of a certain, let's say, metaphysical principle, but then if you go and attack another teacher or another student, then you're actually teaching from the ego. You're not teaching from spirit. Whereas if you're just teaching with love and just openness and sharing, then yeah, you're probably connected more with source than with the ego.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a teacher or, you know, person that I look to as a teacher and mentor, and he's always talking about 12 schools, you know, that there are different schools. And that for me, that actually really helps. Just sort of keep that in your mind that, you know, everybody has their own approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Tao Te Ching says, the way that is the way isn't the way. You know,
yep.
That if somebody's telling you, I know the way for you, that, you know, you might want to run.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all have our own path and our own way of experiencing things and going through it. Even in the Course, right? Everybody does the lessons. It's the same book. It's the same reading. It's the same lessons and responds completely in their own way to it. And that's important, I think, to honor for yourself, right? That path.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that other people have their own way through it as well. And through whatever other teachings they might be partaking in, right? So that the ego doesn't kick into, you know, I'm a teacher and here you need to learn this thing. I think that that's part of, you know, I think when people will get into, a course or any particular teaching has motivated or has shifted something for them or healed something for them and they're excited about it and then they become enthusiastic about it, which is a beautiful thing, but then sometimes they start beating people over the head about it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you got to do this, blah, 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 you know, or whatever. A strong mm-hmm. advocate to the point of bullying somebody or whatever.
Yep. Yep. I think that's where, yeah, a lot of, I think being a teacher and probably one based in love, like we talked about before, just sort of allowing people to have their own journey, their own path. You know, like the Course says, you know, everyone's going to do this. It's just the amount of time it takes. And I think, you know, there is a balance between knowing when to motivate and maybe challenge people mm-hmm. to, you know, fulfilling your own, I guess, ego and getting them to do things to your plan versus their own plan or the plan that, you know, Holy Spirit might have for them.
Right, right. And in allowing other people who may be sharing different viewpoints of mm-hmm. the same teaching, like the Course.
Yep.
And allowing those other folks to have, you know, their viewpoints.
Exactly.
And their beliefs without the need to attack.
Yep.
I think that that's something that you see sometimes out there. Different communities are getting caught up in things and arguing about things and, you know,
yeah.
there's a point for discussion if people need to understand, but then really it's always about seeking first the kingdom of heaven within, right? Finding mm-hmm. that peace within your own heart, soul first.
Yep.
And what is that bringing up for you individually when you hear that, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And why is that there? You know, you hear somebody saying something different than what you believe, and that's disturbing, and you feel this need to clarify for everybody and all that kind of stuff. Well, what is that? Mm-hmm. Why is that need inside you there? And is it coming from a place that's healed and whole, and loving, and compassionate, and, you know, centered in one? Or is it coming from you're wrong and I'm right?
Yeah, that's why I love, I think it's chapter 4 in the manual where it lists 10 characteristics of God's teachers. And it's you know, there's detail behind each one of these, but I mean, it's a really nice thing even just to have these 10 listed out, and it's trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, joy, defensivelessness, generosity, patience, faithfulness, and open-mindedness.
Yeah, that's a good list, huh?
I didn't see anything in there about judgmental.
Or about being right always.
About always being right, yeah. Or pushing people. Or
knowing how to show everybody when the other person's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's funny. There it is, right? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, the course is great because it lays so much detail out, and it's, I mean, again, if you want to cut the time down on basically achieving, you know, in my opinion, enlightenment and connection back to God and heaven and staying there, this is pretty descriptive stuff, pretty prescriptive stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then it helps you to know if you're not sure for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about that body states.
Yeah.
Right. Awareness of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not sure what you're feeling, sometimes just looking at a list like that can help you as a guide, right?
Same. Yeah. Yep.
Am I being open-minded right now? Maybe not, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that's a sign. But we were also talking about using your body. We were talking about before the show about your body being a tool for communication, right?
Mm-hmm.
A tool for communication. Feedback to yourself.
Yep.
Do I feel stressed right now? And you know, I was talking about for me when I was first doing the lessons and stuff like that, and really had. It's more subtle now, but it's still there. Because before it used to be a lot of anger, really overt, you know, sensations of anger and frustration that were really obvious.
Yeah.
But I could tell. But it was an easy clue, right? You know, and mm-hmm. It literally felt like an adrenaline shot. Bam. You know. Shot of adrenaline in the body, tensing, heart rate going up. And like I could feel all that stuff happening to me when a thought would hit my mind and bam, I could feel my body reacting and going,
mm-hmm.
Wow. Yep. So even if I thought my judgment was correct and appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. I knew that my body was not reacting in an open way.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, okay, I need to look at this, right? And it was like that pattern interrupt hook where I could start to say, okay, this doesn't feel right in my body. My body's no longer loose and soft and supple, you know, like the Tao Te Ching talks about, like a newborn branch that blows in the wind or a stiff, hard tree that, you know, just breaks, and being connected to the softness and the suppleness. And you can feel that in your body as a communication device for yourself of where you're at.
Yeah, that's why, again, I think the manual kind of starts to talk about stuff like that, starts to kind of put things in more layman's terms, and even gets into topics like, you know, healing. How is healing accomplished? Because especially, I think if, you know, a lot of us are body focused, but the course is really clear on how you use the body, or how it can be used for you, and really how everything's happening at the mind level. Like there's several sections that talk about healing in, the manual, and Sheldon, I know that's probably an area of special interest for you with your natural healing ability.
One of the areas that actually was really difficult when I first read this thing is healing certain, and should healings be repeated?
Mm-hmm.
Because it said healing is always certain, right? If you've offered it to the Holy Spirit, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically says, you know, you don't need to redo it. If you're redoing a healing that you've already offered and you've truly offered it, then are you coming from a place of fear?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That, oh, yep. Something didn't happen, or, oh, I need to fix this thing, or, you know, all of that needs to be looked at. And it's something that, you know, oh, can you heal me, or, you know, I'm a healer, or I can, you know, help with energy and all that stuff. And I've been able to do a lot of that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then are you getting caught up in it, right? Or are you coming from a place of fear or love? And I've gone around with that, to be honest.
You know, and then sometimes, oh, can you do another healing on me? Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, but is that from a place of love and compassion for that person that's asked it? Or are you saying, oh, you know, let me do this again. I think mm-hmm. it used to be more like that for me. Oh, you're not feeling it. Okay, let me do it again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. would be from fear versus if somebody's asking and you want to share and you want to help them
mm-hmm.
Through a place of compassion, that's okay. Because it's helping them alleviate, you know, a fear for them, really.
Yep. Yeah. And I think it's probably one of the areas, all the healing texts throughout the course is probably one of the areas that's been probably most troublesome or most misleading or induces fear or judgment the quickest, because there is a lot of explanation around, you know, well, if you're sick, it's because, you know, you've got fear in your mind. Or there's sections where it talks about, you're choosing to suffer. And I think what you need to realize is a lot of what the text is addressing is not just you as an individual splintered ego, but also the greater collective ego. And so I think it's important to remember, especially as a teacher of the Course, a teacher of God, and to hold this in your mind that when the Course is kind of saying these words, you have to realize that it's talking at so many different levels at the same time.
Right.
Because for you to take on the responsibility that you personally are broken, you're wrong, and that's why you're sick, you know, it's like, well, you know, you need to understand that there's things happening behind the scenes that you're not aware of at the subconscious level, the greater egoic level. And, you know, not to take on, I think, the guilt that can be associated with, oh, I'm not doing the course right because I just got sick the other week, or I've got a headache today.
Right. I think that for me, that's why allowing, and this is something that Jeshua brought through in JM and the Way of Mastery, which is that follow-up, you know, continuation mm-hmm. of the Course in Miracles, you know, brought in channeled teachings of Jesus, right? And he is one of the lessons where he talks about, you know, love allows all things, accepts all things, trusts all things, and embraces all things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how love transcends, by allowing, accepting, embracing, and trusting the perfection mm-hmm. of every instant. And for me, that's what I use as kind of like a guide, kind of like this, you know, are you being open-minded and trustworthy, blah, 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 you know, as the characteristics, right? What are the characteristics of what I'm feeling? Is it allowing? Is it embracing? Is it trusting? Mm-hmm. And if it's not, then I'm not in a state of love. I'm not connected there.
Yep.
Right? And so when we feel like, you know, like you were talking about, if somebody gets caught up in, oh, I'm not doing it right or whatever, or I feel sick and I want to shift it, which, you know, is painful or difficult to be sick, but allowing that space for yourself to be exactly where you are,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's, we have to start with where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we resist where we are and we wish we were somewhere else.
Yep.
And that right there is this weird paradox that the healing, nothing can happen until you accept, right? But if we're sick, we often don't want to accept because we don't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it creates a paradox where you can't shift out of it because you're constantly future-minded. I wish I were over here instead of accepting where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that the acceptance of where you are is the gateway and the portal through which you can shift to some other state. But it starts with complete acceptance.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it just being honest, right? I mean, because mm-hmm. I'll be honest, I've had to be honest with myself. I remember the way I was raised. There was an association with getting extra attention or love when I was sick. Mm-hmm. And before I think I was going down this journey, I realized I would get sick and I would enjoy it. mm-hmm. That sounds strange. And then I started to realize that and I went, whoa, that's really messed up. And, you know, it's not like sure. I don't get sick anymore. I do occasionally, but not as much as I used to, for sure.
Carolyn Meese has a whole thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Carolyn Meese and why people don't heal and how they can, or I forget what that was yep. One of her first big books that I read anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Totally talks about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Cancer patients where they identify with the cancer.
Yep.
And it becomes part of who they are and it creates a special attention that they get.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a piece on our end that we can work out at the conscious level, and then there's others where you just have to keep asking for help or support or healing or guidance, and and as a teacher of God, demonstrate that. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to go back. You've mentioned JM several times, I think, since we've started the radio show, and there's a section in the manual for teachers that does talk about, you know, the question was, are psychic powers desirable? And it kind of goes through several paragraphs explaining, well, what are psychic powers? What's natural, unnatural?
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean,
ready for this show. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, A Course in Miracles is a channeled volume of text. You know, it's such a great demonstration that, you know, you can get connection from directly from source or from Holy Spirit. I mean, that's why the more you heal your mind, you should be having experiences like that. You should be becoming more intuitive because you're healing the blockages in your mind, which means you're being more open to the collective mind. I think you need to have a lot of discernment as you start to have more revelation and start to get more information. Because again, if you go back up to that list of what are, you know, the characteristics of a teacher for God, I think those should also be the same characteristics for, you know, intuitive information or channeled information as well.
Yeah. Let me, if you don't mind, I'm going to read from that. It's chapter 25 in the Manual for Teachers. Mm-hmm. Are psychic powers desirable? And he talks, you know, he's going through that it's a natural part of communication. A perfect communication is the natural state, right? Mm-hmm. Perfect communion, which is perfect communication. So communication being ability to send and give and receive, right? Mm-hmm. And that as you heal, that becomes deeper and deeper and more profound. And of course, that would reveal itself in ways that we would call psychic, right?
Yep.
But the paragraph 3 says, the seemingly new abilities that may be gathered on the way can be very helpful. Given to the Holy Spirit and used under His direction, they are valuable teaching aids. To this, the question of how they arise is irrelevant. The only important consideration is how they are used. Taking them as ends in themselves, like, oh, I want to be psychic, no matter how this is done, will delay progress. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not even a judgment. That's just you're delaying yourself.
Right, exactly.
You can do that as long as you want.
Yep.
It's okay.
Yep.
But it's what, you know, what it's used for. And that's something that's come up for me as an ego thing because, you know, I have friends and we know people that are more connected in different ways than others. And sometimes like, oh, come on, I'm not like that or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
And I've always taken it down to like, you know, it's like somebody who's very talented in music, like you, you know, gifts that we have, whether it's, you know, a special athlete, right. Or musician or whatever. And if that person is using that as an expression of joy and love, right. And, you know, to entertain people or to share with people or to, you know what I mean? And feels it from that really beautiful place, then it's a wonderful, beautiful expression. But sometimes people will get caught into egoic, you know, belief about it. I'm better than you. Look at me. What can I, you know what I mean? And then becomes total ego trip. And that's the same with any other kind of ability, whether it be psychic, you know, described as psychic or whatever, that, oh, look at me, I can do this, I can communicate and you can or whatever. And it does say in there that everybody can do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's not like there are special people. It's that we all have that capability and that talent. It just might be, you might find that it comes through in different ways or you receive the information differently. You know, there are different clairaudient, clairsentient, clairvoyant.
You have a really nice connection with things like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that because I did want to mention, you know, I remember as I was kind of going through all this process, especially getting really into the course, that's when, you know, through a friend of mine, I got into or realized I could start channeling. And I started channeling, you know, I was intentional in saying I want to channel higher self or, you know, higher source. And it was a neat experience. I'm really glad I had it, but I'll be honest, I had moments where I realized I would get caught up in, oh, well, my, you know, sometimes I would have these thoughts, right? Oh, my messages are clearer than that person's, right? Mm-hmm. And granted, you know, the messages coming through were really A Course in Miracles like, which is why eventually I realized, well, I don't need to channel this stuff because I want to experience it myself and live it. I don't want people to call me and get messages from me. I want them to live the course themselves. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to let go of that because mm-hmm. I did go through a period where it was like, oh, I could build a business around this. I could do what that guy's doing and have a website and do audios and do workshops and blah, 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 which I kind of started to do, right? That's, you saw mm-hmm. me do some of that. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you, I got caught up sometimes, you know? I don't think I've ever admitted that before, but that's true.
I remember when you stepped away from it, but I didn't know exactly why. So that would explain that. That's cool.
Yeah. And I love the connection. It feels good. I just don't really need to do it anymore because I realized if we're all walking around and just being more open and loving and connecting to source like we should be, then, you know, there really shouldn't be a need to channel. You should just be that.
We can connect to that love through connection with another person mm-hmm. and just talking or being with them.
Yep. And I definitely don't want to downplay those that do it. I think it's right. Beautiful. I've listened to other people. I think it's a wonderful way to get information. It's a great way for people to connect and do that. For me, I made a different choice. And maybe I'll right. do it again. You know, I'm right. not saying I'll never do it again either because right. it does feel very good. But I think I realized I was going down a path where I could get really egotistical about it. And that's, mm-hmm. that just didn't sit well with me.
Cool. Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Sheldon, we got you to start channeling.
Playing around with opening up. Yes.
Yeah. What was that like for you?
It was awesome, actually. It's really cool. I think there was some fear that came up. I think that the process, and I think that this is why it goes, you know, seemingly slow, or that there's stages to it. Because I think sometimes people are like, well, why doesn't it, you know, why don't we just, you know, return to oneness and be done with it all, you know? That it is a process of unfolding, but it's a process of unfolding that is only limited by our own ability to accept and receive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was doing that, I could feel that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, yep. Questioning everything that was coming in.
Yep. And I think it can be used as practice. Like when you, again, it's like an allowing. You have to let go of fear because I think anybody, if you've ever tried that. Or do channel, when you first start out, you got to kind of, maybe some people are really natural at it, but a lot of people I think are like, whoa, this is weird. I've got to, what's going on? I'm kind of allowing something to come through me. And it can be really scary for people. I would definitely say read about it and get, you know, some guidance before you start, and definitely protect yourself when you're doing it. But it kind of leads to one of the chapters, I think it's chapter 26, where it asks, you know, can God be reached directly? I think if you were to use channeling or the psychics, you know, connection stuff, and you were intentional to reach God, that is such a great practice. Because some of the religions would say, oh no, you're not worthy to connect with God. But well, yeah, you're already with God. So yeah, connect with them as often and as much as you possibly can. And channeling mm-hmm. can be a good way to practice doing that.
Absolutely.
Right on.
Absolutely. And then it becomes, right, that connection is always within.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is it they call it? Immanent and transcendent. I think there's mm-hmm. different schools. God, you know, within, God without.
Mm-hmm.
The Hindu, I think, way they describe it is you go within, self-realization, God realization within, and as you go in, you in that union, you recognize that God is everywhere, right?
Yep.
So it's going within, God immanent inside, God transcendent everywhere. And so there are different practices. God is in the tree. God is in the rock. God is in this, you know, mm-hmm. traffic. God is there. God is there, right? People do that as a mantra and a mm-hmm. kind of a practice. And then sometimes we're talking about going within, but it's both and all.
Yeah. It's internal. Because we live in a dualistic universe.
Right. Right. And so the channeling is like a recognition that, wow, that connection is actually me.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. You establish it and it seems external, brought in or whatever. And then eventually it gets to this point where it just is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a beautiful thing. Yeah. That's why, again, I think the manual for teachers, if you read A Course in Miracles and you haven't checked it out yet because you're maybe newer to it, just don't hesitate. Read it when it calls to you. You don't have to read everything in order. There's a lot of great information in there. I'm glad we talked about it today, but I did want to make sure the last few minutes that we have, we got to talk about probably what's going on with Arts Unity Movement and core study group that you're running, Sheldon.
Awesome. Well, I am running a study group. It's every Wednesday except this coming Wednesday. We are going to be stopped for one Wednesday, June 3rd. Just because we have a show coming up. Arts Unity Movement is the sponsor parent organization for New Ground Theater Dance Company, and they are doing a performance in our center, the AUM Center at 149 South Boulevard. So it's a show called Quantum Leap, and it is absolutely an expression of everything that we're talking about here.
Hmm.
And we have had artists watch a rehearsal back a couple weeks ago, and mm-hmm. they've been working on their artwork, and that artwork will be presented in the front lobby and throughout the space as a representation of what they felt and connected with and what came up for them in witnessing the performance. Mm-hmm. And so you'll get to see, I kind of like to call it empathy made visible, right? You get to see this empathic connection between the audience, who are artists in this one particular instance, and a performance. And then you get to see what came up for them. And then you get to witness the actual performance that inspired it.
Hmm.
So it's going to be a really amazing performance. It's June 5th and 6th, which is Friday, Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And then also the 12th and 13th at 7:30 p.m. If you go to artsunitymovement.com, you can buy tickets there. There's also matinees on the Friday and the Saturday and Sunday, which is the 6th and 7th and the 13th and 14th at 3 p.m. So we're doing a Friday, Saturday night and then a Saturday, Sunday matinee, two weekends, this coming weekend and the weekend after that.
Great.
So thanks for allowing the time for that. It's going to be awesome. So if anybody happens to hear this, check out artsunitymovement.com for details on the show.
That's great.
Yeah,
and are you ever going to have your core study group online at some point where other people outside of the Bay Area can participate?
There was somebody who pinged about whether or not they could Skype into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or not into the show, into the meetings.
That was me.
Somebody literally from San Jose said, can I Skype in?
And I'll keep asking you that too. Can I Skype in, Sheldon?
So that made me think, because you had actually given us a donation specifically earmarked for putting in a TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could do an Apple TV thing and just, you know, run it.
Yeah.
We are kind of set up for it at this point. So we're getting really close. I don't have the TV yet, but I mean, it's like very simple at this point.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to start. Okay. Thanks for the reminder. I'm going to start crying now.
Well, that's not unusual.
Sheldon gets pushed by Scott and he starts crying.
No, I think it'll be great to open up and see what, you know, who else would like to participate in the community, because you've built a really beautiful community.
That is interesting you're bringing that up, because literally I think it was a week ago I already lost the email.
All right. Well, we've got about a minute left, and I just wanted to remind folks that probably the best way to connect with us is on Facebook on the Of Course Radio Facebook page. That's where we post all of the upcoming shows, any of the new products, downloads. Yep. We've got some audio available through our website, ofcourseradio.com, available for download and purchase, and those will benefit Arts Unity Movement. And then hopefully by the end of the summer, there should be a book coming out called Forgiveness, Inc. Forgiving at Work. And again, those proceeds will go to Arts Unity Movement as well.
Awesome, Scott. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Yes. Cool, cool.
And always, thank you, everybody out there. We love you and happy forgiving. Happy forgiveness.
Love, joy, peace. Have a great time. Rock and roll.
All right. Take care.